last couple weeks, looking at the importance of context, we've seen that context serves as a border. We should not stray from that border. Serves as a fence. Context determines the use of words, the pronunciation of words, and we saw last week the meaning of words. The Bible, as we saw last week, is its own dictionary. If you read far enough, you usually don't have to read too far, the Bible defines words, and though a dictionary may be helpful, and no doubt is, it's not a necessary tool for understanding the Word of God. Context consists of different types. There's immediate context, which of course would be words and sentences that are before and after the passage. There's near context, paragraphs that come before and after whatever passage it is that we're reading. There's book context. We should be familiar with the context of the books of the Bible, the purpose of the book, the intent of the book. All that goes into forming the context of the book. There, of course, is historical context. There's cultural context. Again, we must not read everything in the context of our culture, because that's not the context in which it was written. Then, of course, there's the Bible context, which is the whole Bible. So from this, you see the context goes out in larger and larger circles. But context is very, very important. It enables us to rightly divide the Word of God. It serves as a safeguard against doctrinal error. Again, it serves as a border. All of that leads us into the observation of details. Again, the analogy of a puzzle. You observe the picture on the box. Simply doing that, you determine the subject matter. The subject matter is recognized. You don't stop there. Then you begin to separate the pieces. You begin to put the border pieces together, and that provides a framework. Again, that's context. It provides an outline for fitting the pieces together. That's the goal, is to fit the pieces together. You may then separate pieces into groups by color, and you may begin to put the pieces together in this group. You may begin to put the pieces together over here in this group. That's observing the parts of the puzzle. The details, when you do that, the details are beginning to come together. And that's how it is with studying the Scriptures as well. We begin with observing the whole, which we've already covered. You move to observing the parts, and then you, of course, everything is working toward the details. Anyone who says that they study the Word of God but are not interested in the details, well, you're not studying them, because you cannot ignore the details and call it study. So, observing the details, which of course is the more precise, minute part of Bible study. The Word of God is an incredibly and miraculously detailed book. Very, very detailed. And all study should be diligent. All study should be very, very careful because of the details, but mostly because of what it is. It's the Word of God. So all of that leads us to a very precise observation of details. So how do we do that? How do we observe the details? Like in a verse, how do you observe the details of a verse? How do you observe the details of a sentence? How do you observe the details of a paragraph or several verses? There are many ways that we use to observe the details. Again, we should not want to skip over anything, but very, very precise. And one way we do this is by using interrogatives or simply asking questions. You find out a lot of details by asking questions. That can be true of individuals. That can be true of ourselves. It's certainly true of what we read. We need to ask questions. We need to answer those questions, or allow the Word of God to answer those questions. The most common questions to ask as you read a verse of Scripture, or as you read just a line of Scripture, one, of course, would be who. Who? That identifies, of course, a person. Or persons. I'll always be asking who. Who is the verse speaking about or of? Another question, of course, would be what? What? What, of course, identifies an action. What is taking place? Another question would be when. That, of course, identifies the time of an action. You say, well, it really doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. Who, what, when. This is giving us details. Another question would be where. That identifies the place of an action. Another question would be why. Why? It identifies the reason for an action. And another question would be how. And that, of course, identifies the manner or process of the action. Now, those questions, who, what, when, where, why, how, those questions can be used in observing the details of a sentence, a paragraph, a verse, a chapter, a book. Not all the questions need to be or can be used in every passage. Not all the questions will apply to every verse of Scripture. But if we get in the habit of asking these questions, you'll be surprised at the details that you will begin to observe. Again, who? Who is speaking? Who is being spoken to? Who is being spoken of? What? What events are taking place? What words or ideas are repeated? When does the event take place? Again, with reference to time. Where? In reference to place. Why? Why does the passage offer any reasons for an action? Does it offer any explanations? Does it offer any, are there any statements of purpose? Why? How? How did it happen? How did it happen? Again, you think about the miracles, as Brother Brad was mentioning. You think about miracles. And as you read the miracles in the Word of God, you how? How did he do that? How? The Bible usually tells us. You ask, how did an event take place? Or how is something to be done? God tells us to do something. Well, how is it to be done? Does God tell us to do something and just leave it to us to do it any way we please? I don't think so. But how is it to be done? So questions are very, very important. For an example, let's turn to Book of Matthew, chapter 2. Book of Matthew, chapter 2. Very familiar passage of Scripture. Now when Jesus, okay, we see who is being spoken of. Jesus. Now when Jesus was born, now we see what event is being spoken of. It goes on, in Bethlehem of Judah. That answers the question of where. We see who, or the subject, is Jesus. We see what event is taking place, birth, and we see where the event is taking place, in Bethlehem of Judea. And then you read on, it says, in the days of Herod the king. That tells us when the event is taking place. So again, we get back to, rather than just reading a verse straight through, read it a few words at a time, and these questions just answer themselves. Now when Jesus, again, that's who, was born, that's what? What event is taking place? In Bethlehem of Judea, that's where? In the days of Herod the king, that's when? Notice, behold, there came. Okay, he's going to tell us something that happened during this event. There came who? Wise men. There came wise men. Where did they come from? From the east to Jerusalem. How did they come? How did they come? Saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? That tells us two things. It tells us how they came. They came asking, where is he? But it also tells us how Jesus was born. He was born King of the Jews. The next word is the word for. And any time we see the word for, that answers the question why. What follows is going to tell us why. We, for we, Again, that gets back to who. The we goes back to the wise men. Why they came? Why did they come? Well, for we are come to worship. We are come to worship. This is why. This is why they came. Who did they come to worship? Him. Who is Jesus? Who was born King of the Jews? So we see just asking, a verse answers the questions. If we get in the habit, so ingrained in us, that we ask questions, you don't even have to, once that habit is ingrained in you, you don't have to stop at every few words and ask those questions. You just see it as you read the Word of God. So this is a good habit to get into, is just asking simple questions. The Bible answers those questions, and in answering those questions, we see the details of a verse, or of two, or three, or four verses. So one way of observing details is, again, asking questions. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. Again, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your word that you've given to us. And we thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us to study your word, to look into your word. And we pray, Lord, that as we worship you today, that you'd help us to worship you in a way that would please you. Pray, Lord, that you would draw us closer to thee, that we might go from here today more like thee, that we would go from here more appreciative and thankful of the salvation of our souls. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.